Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, friends, saints, and family. This is Keturah. I am so glad to be back on Blog Talk Radio with you. Had to take a hiatus, well, not really a hiatus, but I had to be away for the last month and a half or so due to the television productions and working with the limited help. You have to do what you have to do. So I took away from Blog Talk Radio time to do television. However, I'm back now, and I will be coming from the book of Revelation. This will probably run in three or four parts. It's going to be a series, and we all know that one or two meetings around studying this book of Revelations is not enough. But in lieu of all of the violence that have occurred from last year to now, especially the outbreak of violence in the church at Charlotte, North Carolina, or South Carolina, I am moved in my heart to start to raise awareness. I believe we get so busy in our daily affairs and we get away from remembering people. We are living in the last days, and the Bible warned that in the last days violence would increase and that we would see wars and rumors of wars, and that men would become lovers of themselves, and not just same sex, but just vain, self-absorbed people, just in love with themselves, some narcissistic, you may call it. But and then we are seeing much controversy over the same-sex marriages being authorized or legalized. And the Bible says in Timothy that even the women would turn to their own kind. And we are seeing that. We are seeing the earthquakes, the famines, the greed, all of the things that the Bible predicted as a sign, a token for our learning or knowing, so that we are not taken off guard at the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave us signs. And before I get into the lesson also, I wanted to say, people, if you know people who teach their children to hate other races of people, I want to say where I have your attention, don't do that. I know this is a common practice in the Caucasian families, because I've experienced it. 3-year-old, 4-year-old child taught to hate. 5-year-old taught to hate. They don't come here like that. And had I not experienced it, I would not be able to put my mouth on it. That child has been taught that. And so, and they'll grow up, and then they'll do violent acts like what we see this boy. I call him a boy. I know he was just 21. Who went and did that heinous crime? But if you've been indoctrinated to hate, you don't have the proper faculties or judgment to assess, and you know right, you know when and when not to do something like that. Now, granted, the young man could have just been mentally disturbed, and maybe both. You know, maybe he's been grilled to hate, and maybe he has a mental problem as well. You know, these kids, they're watching all of this violence and the violent music that they listen to that tell them to kill yourself and do violence. That some of that music is deadly. And so it could be a combination of both, all three are going on. But I just wanted to take some siege a moment to say to those who know of people that do that, don't teach your kids to hate. They are going to be the loser in the end, and they will bring shame on your family as well, because what's done in the darkness will now and is now being made manifest and brought to the light. So don't teach your children to hate, because when you do that, you just signed your own child's death sentence. You just killed your own child because you have taught them to hate. The Bible says that a murderer, he that is a murderer is he that hate. I'm sorry, let me get this right. He that hates his brother is the same as a murderer. And it makes sense because when you hate, you kill. You act out aggressively, aggressive towards others. And then no one comes out a winner in the situation. Death, lives are lost of those who were violated. And then the violator, him or her, also end up in jail for life or dead themselves. So don't teach your children to hate. There are no winners, and it's an awful reflection in the on the race or on the family that does that. So I know these people experiencing what they experience understand that the turn of events is merely an act of Satan. We tend to lash out at people, but if you look at it, the devil, and I hate to use that word, but he is the perpetrator. He is the one behind the scene getting this awful deed done. It's because this is not the first time. And so, but it doesn't have to happen again. I've been on Facebook telling the pastors that I could reach. You know, maybe you all may have to start putting up metal detectors. People are going to have to maybe get to church a half hour earlier so that the searches can be made and that, you know, anybody is just not allowed to walk up into the church. Sorry, it can't be the way that it used to be. But it has some precautions have to be taken because I remember the testimony with Pastor John Hagee, and he can, I'm sure, will validate it. Maybe you can buy the DVD where a man walked up in the church, pointed a gun at him point blank, pulled the trigger, but missed. Thank God for the ministering angels. But that happened many years ago to Pastor John Hagee. Now, people, everybody's not enthused about the gospel being preached. And so the pastors are going to have to take precautions because they got to protect their members, you know, the practitioners coming there to services. And so when you go to these Muslim meetings, I did go to see Farrakhan back in 1987, 1988, 1990 when he would come to Detroit at Cobo Hall. And we're talking huge crowds. And there were metal detectors. No one was allowed to enter the building before being searched. The women searched the women, the men searched the men, and there were metal detectors, you know, that go up and down the arm, you know, and they wave the magic wand to make sure that, you know, no one was carrying any firearms to harm anyone. Because this is not a first occurrence. We can look back in history and see that, you know, happening. That's how Malcolm X was killed. You know, someone came into the meeting, and it was an ambushment set up, and they had weapons under their coats to do that assignment. And so we're living in a day and time where we're going to have to protect ourselves. And so I want you to share this message that I'm speaking on here today, that the pastors would take precautions and the people would cooperate. You know, there was a big ruckus when they had to put those metal detectors up at the airport. But you know what, people, when I go to the airport and I have to take off my shoes and I have to have my bag scanned, I don't mind. I don't grumble. Don't complain, because that life they're saving could be yours. That's all I'm saying. So look at it from a positive perspective. And that's why I will ask you to please share this message that I'm talking to you about today. So now we're going to get into my thought for today, which is the book of Revelations, and it's entitled Preparing for the Last Days. And you can listen again on Blog Talk in your own spare time on demand. But I'm going to start reading at verse 1, and we will work ourselves through as far as we can. My program is only 15 minutes, so that's by design as well. In the book of Revelations, Jesus Christ in verse 1, chapter 1, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angels unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And in verse 3, he said, blessed is he that read and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And I want to point out to you, John says that there will be a blessing to the one who would read this book. And it is. And I see why. Because there are some dreadful things coming upon the earth, people. And Paul warns us in the book of Timothy that when we see these signs to look up, Timothy wants us to, but in the book of Matthew, let me say this, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that when you see these signs, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. God did not tell us the day, the time, or the hour, but he did give us signs that we can see unfolding in the earth to help us to know, hey, it's time to put this foolishness down. It's time to get right or get left, because Christ is coming back. And so if you look here, back in the book of Revelations, and verse 4, he starts with the churches. He's talking to the seven churches. And in John 4, he writes his paragraph to them, saying to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thank God for the blood. Oh, boy, thank God for the cleansing and the washing of the saints by the blood. So because of the blood, people, we have a second chance at life, at the newness of life, to be born again and to escape this place before more hell breaks loose, more than even what we are seeing even right now. And in verse 6, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And in verse 8, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Whoa, we're going to close with this last thought in verse 7. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth. That means all kinds of the earth will well. That all kinds means the animals, nature, people, every all kinds of stuff will well when they see his coming because of him. Even so, amen. Glory to God, people. When Jesus Christ comes back, the Bible says here clearly that he's coming in the clouds, and that all would be able to see him, even the ones who crucified him and pierced him in his side. And so when you meditate on until we turn back to our next lesson. I want to share a thought. I was thinking, well, Lord, those who pierced you in your side have already gone on to hell for their judgment. And so it dawned on me as I was reading that when we believers sin and do things that are ungodly, the Bible says in Timothy that we do crucify him afresh. We crucify Christ on the cross all over again when we don't live godly lives before him and others. So I just want to leave that thought with you, that he's coming back with the clouds. We have a second chance to get cleansed by the blood, repent, turn, move in the opposite direction of the direction of which you may have been traveling. Make a decree that I'm turning over a new leaf. I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, pray with me now. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent of sin by turning away from it. I ask you to come into my life and to save me now. And believe that he heard you when you pray. But turn and begin to live a Christian life. Go to the local church and go down to the altar. Let your acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ become a public statement, born witness to by other believers, and seal the deal with Christ. Move on to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the seal of the commitment. It's your token, earnest of the deposit given to you by God that he's coming back to save your soul and to redeem you from these last and wicked evil days and evil that's coming upon the earth. It is nothing out here in the world worth being caught by hell for on this planet. You want to get out of here while we got a chance. My time is up. I thank you for yours. Please share this link. Revisit the Blog Talk radio on my website at www.inspirationalcorneronline.com and just click the Blog Talk tab there next to the featured artist. And I will be on the Book of Revelation for the next 3 weeks. If the Lord says to continue further, I will. So God bless you. Please be safe. Plead the blood over your families before you go out into this wicked world. Pray. Pray over your family. Pray over your home. Pray over your belongings. Be careful. Look around. Raise the, up your awareness. I'm not saying be suspicious, but just be aware of your surroundings and who is around you as much as possible. Pray for our leaders and all of those in authority. You can click that Facebook tab on my website when you log on to listen to Blog Talk, and you can pray that prayer with me for all of those in civil authority so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Pray for families grieving everywhere in Jesus' name. Well, I got to go. God bless you. I love you. Remember 1 Peter 5:7 from the Amplified Bible. God cares about you affectionately. God cares about you watchfully.